The Word of God is a creation of God, just like my words are a creation of me. I speak, my words go out. They are something tangible. They go forth. The Word of God is what created everything. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So it is by Him, by this Word. Interesting, words are invisible, but Christ is visible. But a word is something that is secondary, in a sense, but it is also very much a part of the person. You know, by my words, you know me. And I am my words. Maybe to me, I mean, I can dissimulate, but God is true. His words don't lie. It is impossible for Him to lie. So Christ is a perfect image of God, and that there's no lie in Him concerning what God is. Everything that is declared by Him is the truth in what God is. Without beginning. Well, and I'll get back to that, because Christ is the Word of God. The Word of God is a creation of God. Yet, God, like we think of human beings, we think, well, we had our first words, right? Mama, dada, blah, 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 blah. Well, God was never a baby. God has always been. So the question could be asked, well, when did God start talking? I don't think you can answer that question. Except I don't think that there ever was a beginning of God's Word. Was there a beginning to God's Word? I don't think so. Suppose someone could have a different opinion. But again, it says in the book of Hebrews that the Son of God has no beginning. Melchizedek, like the Son of God, has no beginning. So obviously then that means, therefore, the Son of God has no beginning. Because Melchizedek is like the Son of God. So that's a real key. The Word of God has no beginning. Yet it is firstborn. Because it has to come out of God. See, it's kind of paradoxical. I think it's beautiful. The Word of God created all things. They're in heaven, they're in the earth. Visible, invisible, thrones, dominions. You know, these things are earthly powers and spiritual powers. The powers. He's saying every high thing. The highest of high things. You know, dominions. Is that kuriotes, which is the word for lord. You know, lordships. Principalities, arches, arc things. You know, like archangels, arc this. The high, the first things. The lorded things. The thrones. Thrones in Greek is, guess what? Thronos. There's another Greek word for which our English word was taken. I suppose, I mean, unless it's just a coincidence, which I doubt. Thrones. All things were created by Him and for Him. Everything was created for Him. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's before everything else. Excepting, of course, Him who begot Him. The thing is, like, they get in the sense, it's funny, like, Jesus is this without beginning Son of God, but He is begotten of God. He comes from God. He's the firstborn, the creature, and creator. I know that to some people it's kind of blasphemous to speak of Jesus as a creature. But I think what I'm acknowledging is all things that are true. The scriptures are saying He's firstborn of every creature. Because, oh, well, there's an explanation for that. Well, then keep your explanation. Really, I don't need it. The scripture is good enough for me. I'm just accepting what it says. I'm not going to try to read into it. But it seems to be saying that He is a created, yet beginningless Son of God. As the mouth forms words, so the Son of God is formed by the mouth of the Father. If He has, He's invisible, He doesn't have a mouth, so to speak, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, the thing is with the Son of God and the nature of God is man wants to contain God in 10 words or less. One God, three persons, or God is just one, and, you know, God is one. Remember when we talked about that there's one baptism too? Well, there are more than one baptism. There's baptism. There's a fiery baptism. Jesus was baptized, you know, in water, but also there's a baptism of the Spirit. What do you mean there's one baptism? Well, they're all joined. That was what Paul said. They are all joined together so that they are one. And honestly, I don't care to explain it beyond what the scriptures say. I don't need to. Why should I? You can't contain a God who can't be contained. God can't even be contained in the universe. And it says of the things Jesus said and did, the world couldn't contain the books. How are you going to explain the nature of God in 10 words or less? I don't know why I picked that 10 words or less, but I like to say, you know, in a few paragraphs, in a book, in a very thick book, in a world book. Are you going to be able to really describe him inadequately? Do we even have the proper words to adequately capture God? It's foolish. Not that it's like this complete mystery or something. Oh, it's a mystery. You know, no. A mystery is something that's been revealed, actually, in the Bible. It means something that used to be hidden and is now revealed. Because when it's hidden, you don't even know it's there. It's not a mystery. A mystery is like, the church is like Christ and the church is like a married couple. This is a mystery. Now, it's just explained what it is, but the mystery is that it had not been understood before, see? A mystery before it's revealed is just a secret. And secrets that are not revealed are unknown. So, I know that I believe there are secrets in God. There are certainly secrets. And there are mysteries of God. That's a son of God, that's a mystery, but it's a mystery we can easily describe by the scriptures. Now, maybe that's not satisfying to people, and I don't care. You know what? If you're not satisfied, don't be satisfied. Satisfying you is not part of the will of God. See? He's the one who needs to be satisfied. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead. We're going to be born from the dead. But we're going to be born from the dead like him. You know, it's like Jesus, well, he's the only one who's going to rise from the dead. Everyone else has already risen. You know, they die and then they go to heaven. They enjoy their mansion. What a bunch of tripe. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He is first in rank. And influence. That's what preeminence means. It means first in rank or influence. It means first. To be first. Because it pleased the Father that, you know, Father is implied by the text. That's why it's in italics in King James. It pleased God. It pleased the Father.